It's 7pm Thursday, and now on 93.7 Express FM, Business Express with Miles Henson.
So a very good evening to you, Thursday, March 16, 2017. You're listening to 93.7 Express FM, and this, of course, well, this is Business.
Miles Henson on 93.7 Express FM.
So good evening to you. This is Business on a Thursday night. Thanks to Dan Gambling. Great drive time show as always, Gary, and of course the Football Hour. Big game this weekend. 93.7 Express FM. This is Business on a Thursday night. Got a great guest with us this evening. Very, very exciting. So we should do this, I guess. So tonight, delighted to say, joined by Clive Loseby on the show. He was born in 1969, has worked as a computer programmer and database administrator whilst pursuing a dream of becoming a famous rock star, haven't we all? Now, following a life-changing event in 1989, he studied music and related arts at Chichester University, then went on to compose music for TV and film with credits including, wait for this, Jaguar, Discovery, Channel 4, BBC, Universal Studios, and Walt Disney, no less. He ran in course of a composition for film and TV at Northbrook College, and this is still running today for students' format, and they've gone on to win BAFTAs and other prestigious awards. Now, he set up his own website design company, Access by Design, which he's going to talk about this evening, with his wife Jess in 2008, and has been building websites ever since. His company have won loads of awards. Clive's here leaving. This is going to be a cracker. So we got March 16th, 2017. Clive Loseby is with us this evening. Clive, good evening, sir.
Good evening, Miles. How are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
Yeah, great. Thank you.
I must, Clive, I'm really excited about this evening's show. And I tell you what, just reading your profile before when I was prepping for tonight's show, I mean, you wanted to become a famous rock star. Tick. That's what I wanted to do. life-changing event. We'll come to that a little bit later. But started writing music, composing music for TV and film, including Jaguar, Discovery, Channel 4, BBC, Universal Studios, and Walt Disney. We've got to get into that this evening. I know we're here to talk about your business. Yeah. We'll do that as well. But if you just forgive me for 5 minutes, just... indulge myself in your back. So tell us the Clive Loseby story then, sir. How did you get to starting Access by Design? Fill in the gaps for us.
Okay, so 14 years old, it's when I got my first electric guitar.
This is where the rock star thing started.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fabulous.
Got my first band, illustrious name of Wraith, heavy metal kind of. If you've seen Spinal Tap, you get the idea.
Okay.
And
I apologise then, because we've got steps coming up next, but keep going, sir.
Yes. Oh dear. Yeah. Okay, so and we did that for a few years. I think we hit the dizzy heights of supporting Stone Cold in Chichester in 1988.
That was a pinnacle of your career. Yeah,
it was indeed.
Yeah.
And it was good fun.
Yeah. And you tell me that you used to have the long sort of rock and roll hairstyle.
Seriously. Well, this was late 80s, and I had very long, curly hair. I never combed it, and I had it highlighted every few months, and it was the most painful experience because they used to put this cap on and pull your hair through with this pair of tongues, and I had tears in my eyes because I never combed my hair, so it just hurt.
Well, if you don't mind me saying, you've kind of gone for a different image now then, because you don't quite look like that anymore.
No, well, the old hair's not what it used to be.
No,
I'm afraid,
no, some of it's run off as well by the looks of it as well. So you're kind of part of the rock star thing, yeah?
Yeah.
But you got into composing music and studied music and arts at Chichester University. So let's take serious for a second. So you had a life-changing event back in 1989.
That's right.
So let's talk about that, because that was pivotal, wasn't it, in terms of the direction that your career then took?
Yeah, so at the time I was 19, and my girlfriend at the time, Jess, she was 17, and we used to go over to the Hungry Years in Brighton, which is a rock nightclub, and people my age and older will remember it. And one night the driver felt he'd had too much to drink. When we came out, it was about 2 a.m, so we slept over in the car. And I was across the back seat. Jess was in the boot. It was an estate car.
Right.
And our friend Jane was in the passenger seat.
Actually, that was quite a sensible thing to do.
It was, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mark woke up at about a couple of hours later, about 4 a.m, and he felt okay.
Right.
So he set off.
Right.
And he didn't wake us. So we're all kind of in prone positions.
Yeah.
And then I think he must have fallen asleep at the wheel on the old Chorm Road by the cemetery and hit a lamppost about 50 miles an hour.
Oh.
So that Jane was thrown against the windscreen. Her face was quite smashed up in her leg.
Right.
I had a punctured lung, and concussion, and Jess was thrown out of the back. The recoil burst, the kind of boot burst open, and she was thrown into the road.
Right.
So, and she broke her back. So she ended up being paralysed from the waist down, has been ever since.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, it was... That night, actually, they thought I was going to pop my clogs. They'd actually had my death certificate all filled in. They would just wait for me to go so they could sign it.
Goodness me.
Yeah, it was one of those things, because this was before mobile phones.
Right.
Really. Minutes after the accident, a taxi driver came along, saw what happened, radioed through, and then the ambulance. It was that kind of touch and go. But I'm still here.
Excellent.
And Jess is still here.
Excellent. And you're still together?
Yeah. Been married now 28 years?
No, I think I know the answer to this, but you put in a brief that was a life-changing moment. So what do you mean by that? Did that mean that you decided to do things differently with your life, or was it just the physicality that changed for you both as a couple?
It was a weird one, because when I tell my story, I can see people's brains going into overdrive, thinking how they would react to it. And you don't actually know how you're going to react until it happens.
Yeah.
So it's, you're kind of going down one set of tracks and you haven't just veered off, you're on another set of tracks altogether. Jess was a singer and a dancer, she was a singer in my band, and we both had ideas that we were going to be, you know, fame and fortune and all that, going up to London. So everything got turned on its head, really. But it was fine. I mean, Jess was still Jess. We got married the following year, because we were going to get married in the summer of 89, but she ended up in the Oddstock unit in Salisbury for about a year, rehab, learning how to use a wheelchair and all that sort of stuff.
And has that episode, a major episode in your life, Clive, has that made you think about life differently?
Well, yeah, because, not wanting to sound corny, but when you nearly die, you kind of suddenly really value every day.
Yeah.
And I have done ever since, really.
Okay, moving forward, if I may, then so you then studied music and related arts at Chichester University and went into composing music. So was that something that you planned, or did it just happen?
No, it was some friend of ours, Sue, had just suggested, the band thing wasn't going to happen. So she suggested maybe going to uni and study music, and I did this course, and it was amazing. With a rock background, I was kind of very much, that was my thing, and suddenly I'm having to study jazz and classical music and all kind of avant-garde stuff, and it was brilliant. And it was during that course I began to realise that actually I could still do the music thing. I would just become a famous composer for TV and film instead of the rock thing.
Okay, which is almost as good as being a rock star, isn't it? It's just you're probably backstage rather than front of stage, aren't you, in terms of composing?
It's better, actually, because it doesn't matter how old you are, because what you look like, you just carry on.
Yeah, I've got get you. So very impressive. Jaguar, Discovery, Channel 4, BBC, Universal Studios and Walt Disney. Just pick a couple of those and tell me what you did for them, because that's really exciting.
Okay, well, fantastic. The Universal thing was a thing called The Secret Life of Objects, and that was a series of about a dozen shorts about objects and what they could be used for in a different life. So Paris scissors you might use to for cutting letters or cutting paper, but you might use them to cut out letters using a ransom note. It was kind of all a bit avant-garde and a bit kind of fun.
Yeah.
That was broadcast over all five territories. I worked with a violinist called Louise Mansbridge, who I got to do the most incredible things with her violin, a lot of kind of improvised stuff and making a lot of scratchy noises.
Yeah.
And that was great. But
that technical term, scratchy noises?
Scratchy noises.
Yeah, okay.
It was funny, though, because this is going back to pre-internet, really. So I'd do 3 hours on the train to go up to Universal, meet the director, get the brief, 3 hours back, go back the week later with a few ideas, get some comment, go back, and it's just, look at it now, you think the utter inefficiency of it all. That's why they said it dragged on for months. It was great fun.
Because today you wouldn't do any travelling, would you? Just stick it in a file and ping it off.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And how does that work? Do you get commissioned and paid for the work, or do you don't get paid until they've liked what you've done and they've agreed it?
It varied.
Right.
Universal were great, but they paid on 90 days, which was
that's tough for a small business. Yeah,
it was hard, but they always paid in the end.
Yeah, and Disney
was fantastic. It was the best experience I ever had. I had worked with a director called Richard Moore, who was fantastic, and after the first episode, it was a 12 episode pilot series, and after the first episode, he basically gave me free range to write what I wanted. When you're writing for cartoons, it's it's really intense. You might have to do 6.5 seconds of jazz, 3.25 seconds of heavy metal, 19 seconds of okay. Do you know what I mean?
Because everything's
to picture, very very tight. The composers for the old Tom and Jerry cartoons, the Looney Tunes guys, they were amazing, because back in the 1940s, everything had to be done in one take. You're recording onto a wax cylinder, right. So it has to be done to picture absolutely perfect, because there was no room to record it again.
Yep.
And obviously, I've got a lot of tools at my disposal, still writing very tightly to picture, with very short deadlines, but at least having the knowledge that I've got computers to do it.
So did Disney send you the cartoon and you then watch this and then had to compose around it? Is that how it works?
Yeah, they used to send, originally they sent the animatics, which is a series of still frames. And I thought, oh, that's great, and I'll write the music around it. But you don't get a sense of the pace until you actually saw the real animation. So I had to wait. And because it was pre-broadband, I only had a single ISDN line. It was a 40 meg file.
Download it on Monday and watch it on Friday.
Well, no, the other way around. They would put it up on a Friday night. It would take 4 hours to download. I'd have to do the whole thing in a weekend, and my cut-off point was midnight on Sunday, because it would take 5 hours to upload my music, which
Goodness
had to be ready
me.
For 9 o'clock. It's intense.
And some TV stuff as well. You did as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So my very first gig actually was a wildlife film called When the Buying Stops, and that was a freebie for a guy being out filming about the endangered animals in Asia. That got narrated by John Hannah, and then Jackie Chan. We dubbed it in Cantonese and Mandarin, and it's been seen by about 1 billion people now.
Wow.
It was the first gig I ever got. Great.
Wow. And so you created a course then for composition in film and TV at Northbrook College, and that's still going today?
Yeah, I set it up with my friend Nigel Rippon, who is just the most brilliant musician I know, and he's still running the course there years on, and but they've had some fantastic successes.
Some BAFTAs.
Yeah,
as well.
Guys have gone on to work for Saatchi and Saatchi and all sorts of things, and it was like anything in education, it's a lot of hard work. But it's also so rewarding.
Yeah.
And I'm not at all bitter that they're on being brilliantly more successful than I was.
Well, you're being successful because you have a new business, don't you, which we're going to talk about in a second. So,
okay, cool.
Great. Clive Loseby is with us all evening. We've got some new music for you now on Express. 93.7 Express FM, brand new singer from Step Scared of the Dark. Clive Loseby is with us all evening. Clive, we were talking about the events of your life pre the business, where you're up to now. So just fill in the gaps for me. Take us from this amazing stuff that you were doing with Disney and Universal and TV to the point where you decided that actually what I want to do is what you're doing now, which is your business Access by Design.
Okay, so the Disney thing was a 12-episode pilot. And it won awards, and we all thought they were going to then commission.
This is it. This is the big time.
What they normally do is they do the pilot, and then it would be 300 episodes. So we all thought, yeah, fantastic. Borrowed a shed load of money, turned my garage into a gorgeous writing studio, waiting for all this work. And then they didn't go with it. That's just the way that it is.
So you were there ready to go.
Yeah. And it's like, uh-uh. And I thought, well, that's fine. You know, I've worked for all these people. The work is now going to surely come flooding in. And it didn't. So at that point, you're thinking, well, okay, I'm not making very much money here. So I started fixing computers. The course, you know, had been doing the work at Northbrook. My wife, Jess, had established herself, because after the accident, she kind of got into retrained as an artist. And she actually was a digital artist, and she was part of the first, what was called the net art movement on the internet.
Right.
So it's artists doing subversive work on the internet, which was amazing. Because what she discovered is that people were judging her for her work and her work alone, because they didn't see her. Because if you're in a wheelchair, people think, well, your art's about the fact you're in a wheelchair. And it's not. It's about the fact that she's a mother, she's a woman, she's all these other things. And she did brilliantly. We won awards. We got flown over to Italy, to the States, and met all these people. And they were always really shocked when they discovered Jess was in a wheelchair, because you saw all their preconceptions kind of.
Well, we always have preconceived ideas when we speak to somebody, but we never meet them, don't we? And it's never the person we think.
No.
No.
So anyway, we were doing all of that, but we weren't really making much money at all. And we suddenly thought, well, okay, well, look, you know, Jess was doing stuff with websites for her art. Let's start a company, let's start doing websites. So with a pile of debt and Just me and her, we started doing it, and that was 2008.
And the name Access by Design came from where then?
Okay, so when we got married in 1990, we discovered that lovely historic Chichester was utterly inaccessible for wheelchairs. There was no ramps, there were no drop curves. All these historic buildings had these big steps. This was before the Disability Discrimination Act. So what Jess did is, like she always does, she got a campaign group going. She was in the paper almost every week and just basically put pressure on people, on everybody in Chichester. They put in about 2,000 drop curbs. All these historic buildings gradually became accessible. And now you've got the DDA, and now it's called the Equality Act. People expect a building such as where we are tonight to be fully accessible.
Yeah.
What we discovered when it came to websites, it's like being back in the 1980s again. And the vast majority of websites back then and even now are just not accessible. That means for people who use the internet in a different way.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And this is probably just to do with my personality. But if I go on a website and I can't find what I want really quickly, I walk away.
Absolutely.
And I guess that's the challenge, isn't it, for websites?
Well, it's that 7 second thing. Yeah. You've got 7 seconds to keep for the person to find what they're looking for, to feel welcome. And then they will stay. It's as simple as that. So what we discovered is that websites were just not working for people who have got disabilities. And it's not just disabilities. People use it differently. If you're using a mobile phone, that's a different way of using it, particularly back then, than it is when you're using a computer.
Yeah.
If you're blind and you use a screen reader, or read out through the speakers what you're navigating through. That's the same technology as the top-of-the-range BMWs, which have got onboard
computers and everything,
and they've got internet navigation. It uses the same technology.
Right.
So actually, what you're doing is you're not doing a disability-friendly website. You're doing a website that works for as many groups of people as possible.
And is that what makes your business and your websites different, Clive? Is that what makes them stand out, or is there something else that you do?
Well, it is that. I mean, the name Access by Design, because Jess is an artist. We did find some accessible websites, and they were awful. They were just like really big letters, mm-hmm. really garish colours, and it just didn't look nice. Jess, being an artist, wanted to prove that actually you can hit both things. You can have fantastic looking websites whilst still meeting the needs of people with different accessibility needs. So that hence Access by Design sums up what we do.
It's a perfect name, actually, isn't it? It does what it says in the tin, as they say.
Unfortunately, we didn't check what domains were available.
Okay.
So we were access-bydesign.com for years until Access by Design became available.
That's just detail, sir. That's just detail. Tell me about Sting and Brand New Day, because that's the first track you've chosen on the show this evening. Great track. Tell me all about that.
Well, Sting is one of my favourite artists. He's absolutely brilliant. The whole song is just optimistic. Every day I get up and I'll do a bit of workout, and I'll start the day. I was just feeling, no matter what happened yesterday, that was gone.
Today is a brand new day. That works brilliantly, doesn't it? Fantastic. Chosen two songs. We'll tell you about the other one a little bit later. Let's start with this. This is Sting, Brand New Day, 93.7 Express FM, Thursday night.
Looking through an old book and rainy weather, you see a picture of a smile. if you find yourself in a bit. Need some time for reflection, you say. Baby, wait a minute, wait a minute. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Wait a minute, wait a minute. If you turn the clock to zero, honey, I'll stay on the stop. We'll spend all the minute, we're starting up.
Let it go to the end, shall we, Clive? Let's let it go to the end. 93.7 Express FM, Business Express Thursday night. First strong song chosen by Clive Laseby this evening. That's Sting and Brand New Day. Fabulous track. Fabulous choice. Not heard that for a long time, sir. Long time. That's great. A daily thing for you, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Okay, we've got one more to come, which is completely different, which we'll talk about in a second, in one song before we get to that.
Fantastic.
So let's go back to Access by Design, the website business that you run with Jess. So business good? Has it been good? Is there stories to tell over the last few years about that?
One or two. I mean, we began to grow. We had more people working for us at home. We got to the point where there was too many people. You added in customers and clients, and we had young kids. It was all just a bit crazy, so we moved out. Moved into a very nice office down the road. That was in 2011. January 2011, this amazing new thing called responsive design kind of just appeared. And that was the idea of a website redesigning itself for a mobile, a tablet, for any size screen. So before that, you had mobile websites and ordinary websites.
And if you put one on the other, it didn't look right. Remember that. Yeah.
So the whole point about this is that you suddenly had one version that would redesign itself. It was amazing. It came out in January 2011. January 2011 was when we adopted it immediately. We combined it with our accessibility, the techniques that we'd always done. And suddenly we had something called responsive accessible design. And I knew it was going to be a game changer. I absolutely knew beyond doubt. So I spent that year, we expanded, we moved into the office, we had took on extra people, and I just knew I was going to clean up. I'd overlooked the wee problem of the fact that it was 2011 and nobody had any money. Right. And if they had money, they weren't going to spend it on some newfangled idea of a website technology that nobody knew. So I'd spend my whole time just enthusiastically pitching this to people, and to be honest, my overheads, about 15 grand a month. That's what I needed to bring in to keep everything ticking over. Yeah. September that year, I think I got 4 grand in new orders, in October, 35 quid. Yeah.
Okay.
Came off the rails. Yeah. I had to downsize, kept Polly, my best designer who's been with me for about 6-7 years now, was absolutely amazing. Yeah. But I had to, I'd never known anything, I'd only ever known growth.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're in this situation where you've got to let everything go.
So how did you handle that, Clive? I'm interested, because lots of people listening and have businesses and been through that, and some people just completely fold emotionally and everything. But did you have more resilience than you expected in yourself?
I don't know. I didn't have a plan B, so I just kept going.
That works. That works.
I couldn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, in business, everything's always great. Targets are being smashed. Success year on year, because that's all people talk about. Yeah. So I couldn't tell. I mean, eventually, after about 18 months, I did tell somebody who was in business that I trusted, this is what has been going on. And he immediately told me his own horror story. And then the more I began to open up to people, the more stories I got back. And suddenly I realised that, if there's anything in business that is true, you are going to hit some serious lows as well as the highs. And that's just the reality of it. And actually, there was no shame in that.
Yeah. Everybody has a story. Everybody has something going on in their lives, don't they? But we just don't. We don't necessarily tell people.
No, and I began to slowly build up the business again, and with a different business model, with far less overheads. And in 2013, we won an award. It was for product innovation, and we won the award for being quick off the mark back in 2011.
Wow.
In fact, it was 2014 we won it. And basically, it was amazing because it was like we were finally recognised for what we had done. And the night we won the award, Jess, unfortunately, her health has deteriorated quite a lot and she's been in hospital a fair bit. And that night, she was in hospital. And I remember I went from the hospital straight to home, threw on a tuxedo, went with my daughter, who was working for me that time, over to the award ceremony, missed all the intro bit, got there just in time, and we picked up the award. It was fantastic.
So business has been flowing in since then, I guess.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
I just thought it would never stop.
Yeah.
Actually, the reality is, again, people haven't got money. They're very, very careful. People are doing a make-do approach. So I had to reevaluate. And I thought, well, maybe there's a way that we can take our bespoke stuff, which only we do and we're really good at, but turn it into some kind of off-the-shelf, low-cost product.
Right.
Almost going back to how we started doing small websites, small business, one bands. So we came up with this product called Run Your Own Website, which is a bespoke website with all of the checks and balances and quality of what we do, but starts at an off-the-shelf price. And again, I thought, brilliant, that's what we're going to do, and we are going to be flooded out with work.
And?
Well, I hadn't counted on the fact that I was working myself into the ground at that moment, and I was carrying an awful lot of stuff on my shoulders, and my health was becoming a bit of a challenge.
Right. As often happens with people running their own business and they spin lots of plates and work 24 hours a day. So I hardly dare ask, but what happened next then?
Okay, so I've got this thing called bronchiectasis, which basically means it's hard to clear your lungs. And I was on a nebulizer, I was on antibiotics continuously. The chess guy at St. Richard's had actually suggested to me that I come in because I had this thing called Pseudomonas, which is a superbug. It's very hard to get rid of. And we weren't clearing it. So he said to me, perhaps you should come into hospital for 2 weeks, 24/7, and then we'll just get this thing zapped, hopefully. And I said, well, that's a really nice idea, but I can't because I'm keeping the business going and all the rest of it. When the chess guy at a hospital, a specialist, suggests something to you...
You should listen, really, shouldn't you,
worth
Clive? Yeah.
Listening.
Yeah.
So last... in fact, it was around about this time a year ago, I suddenly couldn't breathe. I had a pain in my back that I'd never experienced before. I knew it wasn't a heart attack. I somehow thought my lung had collapsed because back in the accident in 1989, I had a collapsed lung, and I thought, weirdly, it had somehow collapsed again. I couldn't breathe. My 15-year-old boy had to call the Had to call the ambulance.
Right.
I was taken in, and it was pneumonia. And it was pretty grim. I was in hospital for 2.5 weeks. And ironically, of course, they put me on intravenous antibiotics and I got rid of the pseudomonas.
So if only you'd listened, you
yes,
see.
If only I'd listened.
Yes, yeah.
It was a challenge, but I have to say, and a big up for St. Richard's Hospital, because they do this Palmer and Me rehab program. And they put me on it straight away, as soon as I was well enough to do it, and it was lectures and lots of working out. By the end of the course, they thought I hadn't got the message, so maybe do it again. So it was like, and I really had got the message by the end of that. And ever since that, I've been working out every day.
Fabulous. We're looking fit. You're looking well.
Thank you.
So is this where your second tracks come from then? Is this kind of link? Because you've chosen Life is Beautiful by 6 a.m. So tell us why you picked this.
Okay, so 2 weeks after coming out of finishing the rehab, my son and I are up at Download, which is a heavy metal festival up in up at Castle Donington. And somehow we ended up at the front. So there's like 80,000 people there. Right at the front, so you're going 14 hours without a toilet break. Oof. On both days. I saw my favourite bands, Sabbath, Maiden, whatever, but what I also saw were these amazing bands that I'd never heard of. Because I'm a bit of a stick in the mud, thinking, you know, it's just the old bands. I heard 13 bands I'd never heard before, and one of them was 6 a.m, and they were absolutely amazing. And this song, that weekend, was probably a thing that just really changed my outlook on everything.
Right.
And it was like, yes, there is life, there is just stuff to really grab it all again. I am alive
and enjoy
it. And this song is just sums it up, really.
Shall we play it?
Yeah.
Okay. This is 6 a.m. chosen by Clive Losby. Brand new day. This is Life is Beautiful. 93.7 Express FM. This is going to blow you away.
Tell the truth until you learn to lie. Can't breathe until you choke. You gotta laugh when you're the joke. There's nothing like a funeral to make you feel alive. Just open your eyes. Just open your eyes. That you don't. I've done things that you won't. There's nothing like a trail of blood to find your way back home. I was waiting for my host. What came next was so much worse. It took a funeral to make me feel alive. Just open your eyes. Just open your eyes and see the light.
Just open your eyes and see that life is beautiful. Will you see?
Wow. So where on a radio show do you get the new singer from Steps and 6 a.m. Life is Beautiful? That's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty
great
good,
Cliff.
Fantastic track. That's woken everybody up. That's woken everybody up. Chris Pearce is coming up with Express this week after news, and I think that's probably woken him up as well. Clive Lesby has been with us all evening. We're talking about Access by Design, which is his website business. Let's talk about Google, Clive, because I guess Google is pivotal in terms of the success, if that's the right way of saying it, of websites. Are Google looking for specific things? They're looking for different things now in websites?
They're getting fussier. A lot of people accuse Google of moving the goalposts. Actually, they've never moved the goalposts. What they've done is raised the bar. So in the old way, you used to stuff your website with full of lots of phrases that were kind of hoped to kind of like a honey trap. Actually, Google's kind of discounted a lot of that behaviour. What Google now looks for is build quality. It looks for whether the website works on a mobile or a tablet, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it looks for accessibility. Now, I don't think Google is particularly philanthropic, but they are only concerned really with their own reputation. 10% of the population are disabled. If Google is serving up websites to those people who are looking for stuff and the websites it serves up don't work for them or are not ones they're comfortable with, eventually they'll say, why is Google doing this?
Right.
And they're using it to try another search engine. So Google has got a vested interest in making sure that it ranks well-built, accessible sites above anything else. So from my point of view, we've never done anything different. The building regs for websites have been around since 1999, so we're not sitting on a secret. It's just that we always do it properly. We've always done it that way.
Yeah.
And this is down to Jess and her high standards.
So that's actually worked in your favour, really, then,
hasn't
it?
It has now.
Wonderful.
The last 3 years have been very interesting,
yeah,
and we're seeing our sites perform really well.
This has been Business on a Thursday. We are vastly running out of time. We've got about, what have we got, just over 5 minutes to go till the 8 o'clock news. Clive Lesby has been with us all evening. Clive, we are out of time. There's so much I could talk to you about. I'd love to go back to talk to you about Disney and Universal, but we can't do that either, but maybe next time.
Okay.
So I'm interested, websites, your business, what's next? What's coming down the line, sir, for you and the world of websites?
Okay, so basically we're at the point now where, yes, we're still doing lots of bespoke websites. We've done over 200 so far, and that's a nice steady flow. But for me, Run Your Own Website, which is this new product, is kind of going back to where we started, Jess and I, where we're doing websites for small businesses, startups, but we're now able to give them our level of top build quality for a really affordable price. And for me, that's I'm now in a position where I've got the right product, right price at the right time, and I'm really passionate about
good.
It.
Well, do you know what? Your passion comes over the radio, and I hope people are picking that up this evening, because it's been really interesting and an amazing story so far, good and bad, I guess. So the moral of the story is don't build a high tech studio before you win the business.
It's probably a good idea.
So look, we've got about 40 seconds left, Clive. If people want to get hold of you, want to talk to you, how do they do that, sir?
Okay, so the website is accessbydesign.uk. Run Your Own Website is the other one. It's just type into Google.
Yeah.
The office number is 01243 776 399.
Let's do that number once more for people scrabbling for a pen.
01243 776 399.
Wonderful. It's been a pleasure, sir.
Thanks so much for having me in. It's been brilliant.
We'll get you on again, because I think there's so much more that we can talk about. So
I'd love that.
We'll see you next time, Clive. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Clive Glasby of Access by Design. Great guest this evening. We'll have him on again next time. I promise you that.